With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
DJ Envy, Angela Gee, and Sade Mae McGuire. Let me read that part. God damn, girl. Y'all got some names on that one. What up? You already know who it is. It's me, Webby the Tree FM, Young Savage, Sweet John Jr. Doing what I do, what I do, what I do, and I'm doing it with my girl, DJ Envy, Angela Lee. Angela Yee. Damn. Hold on. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlotte McGay. Man, hold up. Oh, Charlamagne. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne, the God. DJ Lee, hold up. DJ Envy, Angela Lee, and Charlamagne McGain. What up? You already know who it is. It's me, Webby the Tree FM, Young Savage, Sweet Jones. And you rocking with DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne.
In it for the bread, put you in a toaster. Hey, yes, sir. Ay. Got a little older, was a young flexer. Dang. You know that it's a go, cause it's my jacket checker. Bang. Pop one pill, but it's a double decker.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we are back in the cast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pops Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Papa Minnow, bringing you the best in pop culture and entertainment. You can find me on Instagram at pops.culture or on Twitter at Papa O Minnow. Once again, I'm not joining my trusty co-host. I did just want to get this episode out here, so it will be a solo dolo one, a real quick one as well too, but I won't be here because I'm traveling next week. Well, I'm traveling this week, and then I'll be gone for 9 days. And then following that, when I come back, I also have like a work event, so I won't be able to record then. But following those two podcasts or those 2 weeks, Gabe and I will be back in the cast to deliver you guys your regular scheduled programming. So be on the lookout for that. But if you guys can do us a huge favor, as always, continue to like, rate, review, subscribe on all major streaming platforms. That's iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Reasons FM, and now iHeartRadio. Let's start off with this week. This week's been pretty good for myself. Like I said, I'm going to be traveling at the end of the week, so I'm pretty excited about that. One thing that I realized about traveling, though, is that especially if you're doing it alone, if you happen to see a pretty decent price on a flight ticket, I'm telling you right now, you should always book that ticket. Don't wait for prices to possibly change. If you see a good enough price, definitely buy it before it happens to go up, because I still have to buy my return flight from coming back from Dallas, and I saw a price that was decent. Like, it was still on the higher end, because Google now has this tracker at the bottom where it shows you what price range your ticket usually falls in, and mine was in the middle. Like, it was in the yellow part, so it was still a decently good ticket price, but it was definitely skewering on the lower end. But I thought it would go lower than that, so I was waiting for a better deal. And then I looked a couple days ago, and it actually skyrocketed like $100 more. So now it's on the higher end of the yellow. And I'm pretty upset about that, because I should have just bought it when I saw it at the price that it was at. But it is what it is. I can still wait on it because it's a return flight, so it's not like I have to get it directly now. But if I don't happen to see it go down anytime soon, I'll probably just buy it at the high price that it's at. But it's an annoyance to have, for sure, because I'm definitely spending more money than I could have if I just bought the ticket when I should have bought it. But Yeah, that's an annoyance. But other than that, I'm excited to go on the trip. It's a birthday trip, a little birthday getaway. I turned 30. I don't know how I feel about 30 yet. I feel like 30 is going to be a good year, though, just because, or like a good decade, just because when you turn 30, you're older and you're in a better space than you are normally at 20. Like at 20, you're still trying to figure out life, still trying to figure out what you want to do. You don't have as much money, usually. I mean, most people don't have as much money as they probably would when they're older. At least for myself, I know I don't have, like when I was 20, I definitely didn't have as much money as I have now. So to be able to have more free, not free time, but more luxury and the ability to do what I want with my money and spend it, I feel like 30 is going to be better. And I feel like I've done a lot of things to where I'm more mature and kind of understand not only myself, but other people better as well, too. I feel more confident than I've ever been. Like, I'm not as fearful of a lot of things as I was when you're like 20. Because when you're 20, I feel like you care a lot about what other people think about you and what they say. And the older you get, I feel that that starts to diminish, especially with the pandemic, because that definitely showed people in a different light. And it made people like slow down and kind of be more centered on themselves and the people around them. And we were less vain because of it as well, too, because we weren't all obsessed with this like celebrity culture 24/7. And you really saw what people look like and how a lot of people are putting on masks to perform for the world online. So once we kind of got, I mean, it's kind of back to where it was pre-pandemic now, but I feel like just seeing that exposition of it has changed a lot of people's thinking. So it's not as detrimental as it has been in the past, but I'm excited for 30. I mean, you want to get older, you want to grow old for sure. I know me personally, I definitely want to be on this planet for at least 90 years, if not more. I'm hoping for more, but at least 90 for sure. So that's the goal. And yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. I think it's going to be a fun trip, even though it's solo and I don't really know that many people out there. I think I'll try and meet some new people out in the States, because I don't have anything to lose. Like, they're never going to see me again unless I make like some really good friends, but they're likely not to see me again, like if I poach random strangers or whatever. And it should just be like a fun time to experiment and see what's out there. So it should be fun. I'm just hoping that the weather isn't too crazy, because I've heard that it's pretty humid out there, especially in comparison to Toronto, which is already humid, but that Texas heat is probably a whole nother level. But I'm excited to eat the food out there. That's going to be a good time. Excited to see people out there. Excited to see women out there. Excited to go out to some of the clubs, see what they have to offer. Comedian Matt Henry actually told me I should probably go to a gun range. So I'm probably going to do that as well too. Check it out. And yeah, just enjoy my time out there. I'm definitely going to be at the Little Baby and Chris Brown concert too. I think I mentioned that on previous episodes, but yeah, I'll be out there. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for my week. I'm just waiting on that. And once this week's, I got one more day and then I'm on vacation. So I'm getting pretty antsy, to the point where my sleeps are not the greatest because of how excited I am for this trip. But yeah, should be a good time. But let's move on to the news and what happened in this news cycle this week. One of the biggest things that happened actually and dropped yesterday, last night, was the announcement of the Breakfast Club no longer being the same. So from Angela Yee's Twitter, she went online and posted, "The Breakfast Club, as you know it, is officially over." To which everyone started to speculate and think that this meant the Breakfast Club as a whole is going to be disbanded. Like, they're not going to continue the show anymore. They're not going to do their radio show. It's just not going to be on. People just figured it was going to be shut down and they were kind of all moving on to different things. And for those of you who don't know, the Breakfast Club is a major radio show in New York. I think it's Power 105, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on the numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's Power 105. And it features Charlamagne the God, Angela Yee, and DJ Envy. And if you're listening to this episode, I'm putting the Webby clip in front. So if you happen to hear Webby struggling to say their names, which is probably one of the funniest moments in Breakfast Club history, just the fact that Webby could not pronounce Charlemagne's name and he kept getting Angela Yee's name wrong as well too. That clip forever kills me. Like that's a goated clip in radio history across whatever genre or networks. Like that has to be one of the funniest clips I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, so she took to Twitter. She announced that the Breakfast Club, as we know it, is officially over. And after we found out, actually, what really happened is that Angela Yee, I believe, is going to be the only one to leave the show. So she's not going to be on it. And Charlamagne and DJ Envy are probably going to remain, which isn't really that surprising considering I think they have a passion for radio much more than Angela Yee does. And I think that they probably, I would assume that they get paid more than Angela Yee just for the sake that, well, for Charlamagne, he's definitely one of the biggest draws for the Breakfast Club. A lot of people tune in for his antics and who he is as a radio personality. And he's definitely evolved from when he was younger. Like a lot of the earlier clips that he was doing, a lot of the earlier shit he was doing was way out of pocket by today's standards. Like PC culture would not be able to handle any of that today. Like I remember there was a clip where he was sniffing J-Lo's seat after she left. Which is nuts. It's absolutely crazy. I understand why he did it. Like I can see why he would choose to do that, but to have it recorded and to do it in front of millions of people, that's a whole nother level. Like that's just insane. But that was, you know, the type of shock radio that we were used to back in the day. So it's not super surprising because there was a lot of shock DJs back in the day. What's his name? Dude, who has his own show. Oh my God. It was just on the tip of my tongue too. Howard Stern. Howard Stern used to have some of the craziest radio shows too. So there's a lot of shock DJs back in the day. They've definitely tamed somewhat nowadays. I think more, you'll find more of that on podcasts now, more so than actual radio, because of how the culture has moved away from that. But yeah, Charlamagne's a huge draw. So I can see why he would probably stick around. He still loves doing radio as well too, so that's definitely a passion of his. DJ Envy, same boat. He probably gets paid well enough. He's got a family as well too, so having a continual stream of income is probably very beneficial for him and his family, so I could see why he would stick around. And yeah, Angelique's deciding to move on. I don't know what she's moving on to, but I know she has tons of endeavors outside of radio. She has her own podcast that she does. She does not a clothing line, but I'm pretty sure she has like a juice bar or something, or she does some kind of health thing as well too on the side. So she'll probably venture out into one of her other passions. I'm not sure why the reason for her leaving. It could be contractual. We don't know. Could just be personal. She just wants to change. Personally, I've never really found her to be an integral part of the Breakfast Club. Like she's definitely good at what she does in terms of asking the questions and making sure the guests and the co-hosts as well to stay on track. Like there's a lot of times where they'll get sidetracked and Angela Yee's the one to keep them on track, you know, hit the guest with the proper question next and follow up. So she definitely does her role well. And she kind of has like this co-producer role to her position as well too. But she definitely also is replaceable. I could see them putting on someone else who could probably fit right in and do a similar job, if not bring a little bit more entertainment value as well too. So we'll see what happens. But shout out to them. They've been on air for years now. I think they really started in 2008. So they've been on radio for 14 years. And they were very prolific as well too. Like they become syndicated across the nation. So they got shown in a bunch of different areas nationally in the US. They even were on Toronto radio as well too for a bit. I'm not sure if they still are, but I remember Flow 93.5 over the past 2 or 3 years, they actually put them on at a certain time period. So you'd be able to get the Breakfast Club here in Toronto, which is unheard of because we usually stick to our radio stations. We don't have American stations coming in. So that was a huge change and a big move. But they've been great. Hopefully the show finds a suitable replacement and they continue to go on. But yeah, it's not all doom and gloom for them. It was just funny the way that she announced it, because Angela Yee could have just literally been like, oh, I'm moving on from the Breakfast Club. I really enjoyed my time there. It's been a great experience, but it's time for me to move on to new endeavors. But the way she made it seem was like, she made it seem way more influential in that, like, the entire show was going to be shut down and we'd no longer be listening to the Breakfast Club whatsoever. But that ended up sparking a lot of flowers being shown. Like, everyone started taking to Twitter and posting their favorite clips of the Breakfast Club, some of the funniest moments. Like I said, I put that Webby one at the front of this podcast. I also saw it and retweeted it. It's hilarious. There was also that Ray J incident, which was super joked. It was a beef between Ray J and Fab, and not really even a beef. Fabulous had just tweeted something, and Ray J caught wind of it. And it was just like Fab laughing at the fact that Ray J was on a show, and the way that the camera cut to him, and it was him singing, he gotten so in his feelings about it when he read it that he took to the Breakfast Club to call in and start talking shit about Fab. And I think at that point, Ray J allegedly was doing drugs. So that kind of factored into the whole thing becoming a huge scene, because he was snapping on radio for no reason, for something that was so minuscule. But it turned into a huge cultural moment. That was hilarious. Obviously, the Birdman clip, one of the most iconic clips ever. Birdman comes on the show. He's upset at Charlamagne for asking the question on him not doing right by his artists. And he gets so upset that the interview that he does is like 5 seconds. Like, literally, he came in for like 10 seconds. Charlamagne asked him the question. He got pissed. Are you finished? Are you done? And he got so mad that he wanted to fight Charlamagne, but obviously he couldn't because he's a radio dude. And Charlamagne was saying that. He's like, I'm the radio dude. I'm just asking the questions. Like, I don't know why you're getting upset with me when there's tons of artists out there who are upset with the way you've been handling your business. But yeah, Birdman was not in the mood for that. And then he ended up going off, and, you know, we got one of the most iconic clips. So shout out to the Breakfast Club. It's good to hear that they'll still be on, and it's just going to be a change in one of the co-hosts, but we'll see what happens from then on. The other big news was Pete Davidson broke up with Kim Kardashian. And this is like news that we don't really care about, but because it's Pete Davidson and Kim K and Kanye West, it's newsworthy. So we kind of have to touch on it or talk about it. And I think the rumor here, or the report here, is that they were dating for 9 months and Pete wanted to be more serious, so he proposed to Kim, and she felt that he was moving way too fast for that to be happening, to get married after 9 months. And people apparently close to the situation were also telling him that if you move like this, you're only going to end up pushing her away. But he was so head over heels in love that he just didn't want to listen to that advice whatsoever. And yeah, he decided to pop the question, and obviously she said no, and that obviously turned her off, I guess, because again, it was too fast, too much for her. Like, she's already got 4 kids. Like, I don't think she was really looking for a marriage proposal at this point. She was probably still in that phase of, you know, she just wants to have fun, live her life a little bit, and then figure it out a little bit later on, because she's already done the marriage thing multiple times. So to just pop the question that quickly. And maybe I can kind of see why you think you could get that off as Pete Davidson. You've seen her in the past with her past relationships. She dated, Buddy from the Nets, who also played for the Raptors a little bit. You know the dude who she broke up with after 30 days. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name right now, but the basketball player, we all know who I'm talking about. But yeah, broke up with him after 30 days. You could probably kind of see how you might be able to get off a quick engagement after 9 months, especially if you think things are going well. But yeah, he was just too head over heels, and that ended up costing him. Like, you kind of got to keep it, as much as you are in love with, like, you can fall in love with the woman, you do still have to keep it somewhat contained. Like, you can't just love a woman. There's still things you have to do to keep that attraction going and to keep it, you know, fresh and in the right spot. So for him, And for her position, I think he should just like waited a little bit more, but it is what it is. That's what he wanted to do. He chose to do it. And yeah, they're officially broken up. And then Kanye made his return to Instagram for that quick second right after he heard the news, and then posted up a New York Times rendition of the news saying that Skeet Davidson is dead at 28 years of age, which wasn't even the funniest part. The funniest part came from the subtitle, which reads, Kid Cudi was supposed to perform but was fearful of water bottle throwers. Because famously known a couple weeks ago when Kid Cudi replaced Kanye for Rolling Loud, fans were not pleased whatsoever. They decided to throw water bottles at Kid Cudi, get him off stage. He even egged them on to do it because he did say, he's like, oh, if one more person throws a water bottle at me, I'm heading off the stage. And that's just excuse code word for, yo, throw this water bottle so I don't have to do this performance anymore. And you could probably feel that the crowd wasn't really into him, so he probably didn't want to perform. As long as he got out there and tried to do what he had to do, he got paid for it. And, you know, if it's a security issue, which it was because they were throwing stuff at him, it's probably in his contract that he has every right to just hop off the stage. So they had to still pay him for that, and he made his money. But it was funny that Kanye even put that subtitle under the lining. Even though they're beefing, I don't really like the fact that they're beefing because they have made good music and they've even made a great album together. So I don't like the fact that they're beefing, but it was a funny jab at Kid Cudi. I don't think the Skeet Davidson dead thing is a good one. I feel that's just bad vibes. But, you know, Kanye's going to do what Kanye's going to do. And then it was also reported that Pete's been in rehab because of the fact that Kanye had been making fun of him, or from some of the online backlash. And to me, that's pretty weak, just because of the fact that when Kanye was going through some of his issues, like when Pete first started dating Kim, and you could see Kanye was visibly upset, and, you know, he deals with this mental health stuff, Pete didn't take, like, he didn't stop to, you know, consider his mental health at that point. He was full on, like, taunting Kanye, saying that he was with his wife and like he's sleeping in his bed. Then he was also hanging out with his kids and like showing pictures of him hanging out with his kids and all that. So he was egging on Kanye West very early on in that relationship, and he wasn't stopping. And the fact that there's people like whining, or he is possibly whining about the situation now that he's in rehab, it's like I've seen the media spin it to where they're saying, oh, well, Kanye, he deals with mental health, but he's not considering Pete's. Well, it was more so Pete in the beginning of the stages that wasn't considering Kanye's, and there wasn't any articles trying to defend Kanye at that point. So same thing goes here. I think all is fair in love and war, and I think all is fair in this game as well too, because he was dishing it out, so he's got to take it now. So it's sad to see that he's in rehab, but I mean, that's a place where you're going to get help. Like, he's even been one to say that he's gone to rehab beforehand, and that's where he's gotten help, and this is definitely going to help him get through the breakup and put him in a better light or better position, hopefully. So if he's got to do that, then that's just what he's got to do.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The next topic we're going to move on to is Drake and the OVO Fest. Like I said last week, I told you guys that Drake was not, he was not COVID positive. It was very apparent to me that this guy was definitely having the time of his life. Caravana weekend, the first one back after 3 years of a hiatus. Tons of people in the city, tons of women. He's got more money than he's ever had before. It's his city as well, too. So you know he's just going to live it up after being pent up kind of for the past few years. And this is the first time in the city that we're able to really turn up. So I'm not surprised that his COVID test that came a couple days after ended up saying that he was negative and that he'd moved the OVO Fest to August 6th. And I think that that's... I think that that date was a little bit detrimental to probably what he had planned, because normally at OVO Fest, Drake comes out with a bunch of surprise guests that aren't on the lineup, and that's what really pushes the show to the next level. I remember the first OVO Fest that I went to, I did not expect there to be as many guests or of that high profile at that show. Like, the first one had Eminem, Fabulous, Rick Ross, Young Jeezy, Jay-Z, and I'm missing someone who is pretty big, and some other big name alongside Drake. And most of those acts that were listed, like Jeezy, Fab, JM, I did not know that they were going to be there. Like, I had no clue. I thought it was just going to be Drake and maybe like a couple local people. I think maybe Rick Ross was on like the undercard or something like that. I can't remember what the ticket looked like, but it was supposed to be just Drake, or at least that's what I was also really expecting. And the fact that he was able at that time as well too, when Toronto wasn't as popping and it was even harder to get over the border, I was super shocked that he was able to get some of the, like all the guys that he ended up getting, like Jeezy, I'd never heard of being in Toronto performing. Rick Ross, Jay, like, I never heard of Jay being in Toronto to perform. M, like, it was insane the fact that he was able to get those guests. And then the one that I went to in 2017, he had Cardi B, Tory Lanez, and that was, like, right after their beef as well, too. I can't remember if Nav was there. Maybe it was Nav. I can't remember. I think he was, though. Nav was there, and then they had a bunch of other guests too. So it's really like the surprise guests that kind of boost the show as well too, on top of the fact that Drake's there. Oh, I think the Migos were there as well too. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I remember them being there. But it's those guys that boost it. And this year seemed like the most boring OVO ever, especially again for the prices that happened to be there. I didn't see anyone post, well, okay, I saw a couple of people post video, but it was very seldom and rare to see people posting any type of hype videos. And normally people go to their Instagram and post that shit in droves. But there was also a lot of other festivals going on, so I can kind of see why people would skip. I could kind of see why people would skip OVO Fest if they're able to get more affordable tickets to something else that they happen to like. But yeah, this looked like a boring one. And especially since... like, I know it was a Young Money reunion, but I'd guess that some of the guests that probably would have came, because I thought Smiley would probably be there because he's on OVO, but I guess because of the timing, it didn't happen to work out. I guess Tory Lanez would probably be back, but that timing probably didn't work out either because he was here during Caravana weekend, but then obviously since Drake pushed it, I'm assuming that everyone who was probably planned for that Caravana weekend for a guest, once they left the country, it was just like, oh, it's a wrap. Like, we're not going to be able to make this, so... it was just Nicki, it was just Lil Wayne, and then Manny Fresh and Birdman, I think, the big timers, they performed. Or at least that's all I saw. And the sound quality didn't look good. The hype level didn't look good. The crowds didn't even look like they were super into it either. So that OVO Fest looked like a flop. Y'all got ripped the hell off for those tickets. Definitely scammed. And yeah, that seems to be a big theme in Toronto these days, because a lot of other festivals definitely failed to deliver. There was Culture Fest that failed to deliver. Like Jhené Aiko wasn't able to perform. Jerk Fest seemed like it was a big scam as well too. And the Culture Fest dude, the guy who organized it, he was the one who even came out and said he's not refunding nothing. You know, this shit seemed like Fyre Fest all over again, except just on a musical scale. And I think part of it as well too is, like I said, the hype culture in Toronto is just like so out of control. People are gonna pay crazy money to do stuff, and I guess because people have been cooped up as well too, they just want to wild out. Like, I think it was Culture Fest, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was Jerk Fest. I can't remember the one where Popcan was performing, and the VIP section, they ransacked that. Like, once that fence went down, general admission just ran straight up into VIP, and there was no longer a VIP. It was just a complete mess of just like general admission mixed with VIP. And as someone who paid VIP tickets, you're probably pissed at the fact that general admission people were able to get in there. But yeah, a lot of festivals went to shit this year. The sound quality wasn't good either for a lot of festivals. And I'm just warning y'all, especially when it comes to Toronto, you want to do the thing that is most fun, or that you think you'll have the most fun at, not the thing that you think is going to get you the most likes and looks on Instagram. So start trying to choose better events to go to, I guess. And then the last thing I want to say on Drake is that his dad got his tattoo on him. And the photo that he chose, I don't know why. Like I don't know how you, as someone who has a son as famous as Drake, so you have tons of connections, you know your son has tons of connections, you could have found the greatest tattoo artist in Toronto or even in the States and gotten a way better tattoo done than the one that you got. Like, he got the Dominican looking Drake, like that era of Drake, but it didn't even look like him. Like, it was so lopsided. Like, the head was so out of place. It just looked like such an amateur job. He could have got a way better tattoo. I don't know why he got that and then decided to flex it on the gram. But, you know, the gram's got to do it for the gram, I guess. But it was such a bad tat. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what was going through his mind. Like, Drake even had to come out and comment on it. But part of me even feels like this is, like, just part of their brand. Like, Drake's gotten some pretty bad tattoos himself, too. So maybe just like runs in the family to get bad tattoos, or they just do a part of the brand or something like that, just as something to talk about. But it's something that's permanent. So I don't think he would, and he's older. I don't think he would do it for a brand thing. I really just think he just found a bad tattoo artist and he needs to get that touched up or fixed or something, because it looks absolutely atrocious. But let's move on to the next topic. I want to talk about the Raptors a little bit. So it's been recently reported that the Raptors are probably the heaviest favorites for picking up Kevin Durant in this Kevin Durant fiasco. The owner also came out and spoke on Kevin Durant's previous comments, in which KD, and I'm paraphrasing here, KD had said that Bobby Marks, the GM, and Steve Nash either have to go or he has to go. And the owner had said he was pretty much sticking with the team that he's got, so he's not looking to get rid of those guys. But in this sweepstakes, it seems like the Raptors are the front favorites. And one of the trades that's been hypothetically proposed, according to Bobby Marks, would be the Raptors receive Kevin Durant, and the Nets in return would get OG Anunoby, Gary Trent Jr., Thaddeus Young, and 4 first-round picks, which is way too much of an insane deal. I don't mind the players that are involved, but the 4 picks are just astronomically absurd to give up for an aging Kevin Durant, who's only going to get older and likely worse, especially coming off of a major injury like the Achilles. I know he's been better and he hasn't like re-aggravated it, but he's definitely taking some time off. Like, he's not playing full seasons as he did in years past. And he's more likely to, you know, be injury prone and take some time off and, you know, take the time to stay healthy. So the fact that he's only going to get older and that's only going to get worse, I don't see us leveraging our future, like giving up away that much of our future just for KD. Now, if we give up OG Anunoby, sorry, if we give OG Anunoby, Gary Trent Jr., Thad Young, and like two first round picks, I think that's a better proposition and way more realistic. I really think that the fact that Gobert was able to demand so much from that Utah trade, that really just threw things for a loop in terms of this offseason. And now all other GMs are trying to kind of like, if they're giving up players, they want to get that same lucrative return, if not as much, maybe even more, because of the fact that there's way better players out there than Gobert, and they feel that they can. And this is definitely one of those situations. Kevin Durant is a generational player. So them commanding four first-round picks plus three players, I can see why Bobby Marks probably wants to go for this. But there's no way in hell that we're going to do this trade. If we do the two first-round picks, I'll be fine with that, to be honest. Like, I'm cool with that. As long as we keep our core of Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes, and yeah, those three. As long as we keep those three, I'm cool with trading anyone else on the team in order to get a Kevin Durant, because those are the guys that are going to make the biggest difference, and those are the guys that we need to keep to even have any kind of future going forward as well too. So we'll see what happens with this deal. I mean, the Raptors Twitter, which is the media social media dude, he doesn't really have an insight, so I wouldn't really look to him to be like, oh, like he heard something and he knows that some shit's going down. But last night before we went to bed, they did tweet out, hope Raptor fans sleep well tonight, and that's a very, and have a good night. And that's a very odd thing for them to tweet, because they normally don't do stuff like that. They don't wish their fans good night unless something's going down. So it made a lot of people speculate that a trade was going to happen today. But as we know, nothing really transpired from that. And that was pretty much it. So we'll see what happens with the whole Kevin Durant fiasco. It seems like, honestly, I honestly feel like he's going to start the season as a Brooklyn Net. I really don't see any trade going down. Like, Brooklyn doesn't have any leverage in the situation. It's all the other teams that have leverage. So like, our teams are good. Like, we have good teams. Like, the teams that are training for Durant are usually good teams. And they're probably just thinking, well, if you're not going to take the package that I'm offering you, all right, you can go somewhere else and try and move Durant. Like, just like a disgruntled Durant is not going to be a good look for the Brooklyn Nets. So they're not going to have the leverage in this situation. They better take whatever offer is the best offer for them, because they're not going to get much of a better offer than what a lot of teams are willing to give. The teams that are looking to get Durant are already good teams, and to give up their future on top of some of their current core is not going to be the look. And like I said before, I think with the Rudy Gobert thing, that definitely has shaped the landscape and made it a little bit lopsided or harder for, you know, Bobby Marks to be like, well, if I'm not going to get the same kind of haul as a Rudy Gobert haul, then I don't want to really pull the trigger. But at the same time too, he's caught in a hard place because Durant doesn't even want to play for the team. So they've definitely got to take the best offer that's available to them. And I think this one, as long as it's not the four picks and we drop it down to two picks plus those players, I'd be happy to do that and not have any issue with it. But let's move on to the last topic. The last topic of the day, Serena Williams is retiring. And reading from CBC.ca, when Serena Williams made the first professional tennis appearance of her career in Quebec City on a chilly late October day in 1995 at just 14 years old, there was no pomp and circumstance, no introductions, and certainly no fans watching. No one really had any idea who she was or what she was about to become. The kid from Compton, California, who traveled north to La Belle Province to begin her foray into the tennis world, was competing in a Tier 3 tournament qualifying match against 149th-ranked American Annie Miller. It was unmemorable, lackluster, and the match was over in less than an hour. Miller thumped Williams 6-1, 6-1. That trip to Canada in those formative years has stuck with one of the greatest tennis players of all time. It fueled her drive to be the best. And when she returned to the pro circuit 2 years after that opening match defeat, Williams was ready to take on the world and change the game forever. It only seems fitting then that after starting this tennis journey in Canada, she would announce her career is coming to an end in Canada. Williams says she's evolving away from tennis, which is her way of saying retirement. In a lengthy point of view article in Vogue magazine, Williams says she's leaving the game in September. So Serena Williams, is an absolute monster. She is goated, a legend, one of the greatest tennis players, one of the greatest athletes of all time, especially in our generation. And her resume speaks for itself. So in September, the US Open is what occurs. Like, that's the major match going on there. It would be great if she happens to win that. But even if she doesn't, like I said, she's already been solidified. Her legacy is already great. There's nothing left for her to prove. So a win would be great. Like, it'd be a great cherry on top. But even if she happens to lose or not even compete that well, it would still be a great ending for her amazing career. She's evolving. Like, she's evolving away from tennis. So she's going to move into something else. And I was actually listening to a podcast discuss this matter. And it's real hard for athletes and artists to kind of transition into new things after their careers are over, because they start so young that all they've known for their entire life is to work on that one craft. And it's something that they're super passionate and that they love to the depths of their heart. So when it comes to an end, it's real tough to kind of try and find something else to fall that much in love with and to move on to. But I feel that she'll be able to do it well. I feel like her heart hasn't really been in tennis that much these days, just because she's struggled with a lot of injuries in the past couple of years. And that's definitely changed her career trajectory as it's continued to go on. So it'll be interesting to see what she transitions into. You know, she is a recent mother, like, she has a young daughter, so I'm sure she'll probably love to spend a lot more time with her daughter during this time as well, too, and figure it out. But I'm sure whatever she happens to do, just the great caliber of person that she is, like, she's always stood up for what she believed in. Even though the media had, like, tried to paint her as a villain numerous times, she happened to switch the script and be like, no, I'm going to represent myself and I'm going to say what I need to say and do what I need to do. So she's a strong-hearted woman. She knows what she wants. She knows what she wants and how to get it. And I'm sure that she'll translate that into whatever endeavor that she happens to go. But I do just want to appreciate her on her retirement. And hopefully she does end up going out on a win. But that'll do it for episode 140 of the Pops Culture Podcast. Just a reminder, once again, next week I will not be here as I'm traveling. The following week I also will not be here just because I have an event, so I will not be able to record. But following those 2 weeks, Gabe and I will be back in the cast to deliver you your regularly scheduled programming. So as always, you guys could do us a huge favor. Thank you so much for listening. Continue to like, rate, review, subscribe, and share the podcast. Really helps us grow. You can find us on all major streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Reasons FM, and now iHeartRadio. So wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I love you, and I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace out.